Okay, here we go. Stand by. 3, 2, 1, action.
Assume nothing.
Rash, bald-faced blasphemy.
Question everything.
I find it extremely hard to imagine.
Open your eyes.
It is quite all right to be an atheist.
The fastest growing group of people in the country has been measured as being those who have no belief or who are atheists.
You don't have to be apologetic or quiet about it.
Challenge the opposition.
You see religion on 100 fronts losing the argument.
And start thinking. This is The Thinking Atheist Worldwide.
Well, it looks like I'm going to take Henry and Rat Dog on tour. If you're going to be anywhere near Mobile, Alabama on the evening of June the 18th or Santa Rosa Beach, Florida on June the 20th, Henry and Rat Dog will be in attendance. I'm going to bring them out. I have a feeling that people will probably take more photographs with the dogs than they do with me or anybody else. People love my animals, and obviously, so do I. We're taking kind of a family trip down south, just a few days to decompress, but it's also sort of therapeutic for me to be able to connect with the local heathen groups as I travel for any occasion. So we set up a couple of tour stops on June the 18th in Mobile, June 20th, Santa Rosa Beach. All the details at thethinkingatheist.com/events. On the podcast roster, a week from today, we're going to talk to Tracy Harris, one of the hosts of the Atheist Experience television show. Tracy is awesome. There will be audio and video of that exchange. 2 weeks from tonight, I'll be sharing a short story by Ed Swolmanen called Stones of Tribulation. Essentially, Ed has taken yet another nugget out of the Christian Bible, one of the more unpopular pieces of scripture, and he's tied it into this 21st century scenario, this story, this work of fiction that he's put together. It lasts about 45 minutes. If you're a fan of short-form audiobooks, you're going to love The Stones of Tribulation. We did something like this last summer when we did Abraham's Excellent Adventure. People seem to really, really go for it. So he wrote this story just for the broadcast, and I'm excited about that one. In the future weeks, in the month of June, it looks like Dave Rubin of The Rubin Report is going to join me. And also, I'm hooking up with the God Awful Movies podcast guys for sort of a tandem show. I am way excited about this one. These guys find these horrible religious movies, whether it's God's Not Dead or some obscure thing from the 60s and 70s, whatever. There's so many to choose from. They grab these movies and they go and they just review them and skewer them and have a ball with them on the radio. And they've got this podcast called God Awful Movies. Well, they're allowing me to play along. So in the month of June, we're going to choose two Christian films and one Islamic film, and we're going to examine God Awful Movies, and it's going to be a great time. I don't have a date for that, expecting mid-June, so keep your eyes open for that broadcast. Today's show is, I think, going to be, for many people, a compelling one. Even if you're not a fan or follower of rock music or this particular genre of rock music that Monster on Sunday produces, the story of the band, who they are, their religious backgrounds, how they escaped, why they do what they do, and why they are so in your face. This may be very interesting, I think, to a lot of people. And for those who are interested in the music, we are going to play some clips from their debut album called Baby Eater. I'll play a few clips with their permission on the show today. So, you know, I realize music is a subjective preference. And there's no right or wrong answer. It's what speaks to you, what resonates with you, what makes you feel good, what motivates you. Everybody's got a different sort of a genre that rings their bell, you know? So if atheist hard rock is not a genre that necessarily speaks to you or resonates with you, cool, that's totally fine. I still think it's relevant for us to examine what they are doing and who they are reaching and the message that they are promoting and the difference that they are trying to make. For those who do respond to this particular genre of music, you know, everybody's doing what they can, where they can, using the gifts that they have. And I think Monster on Sunday is a great example of that, and that is why they are featured on tonight's broadcast. I have video of this exchange. In the description box, there is a YouTube link in case you'd like to watch instead of listen. And we'll kick off that conversation here in just a second. Huge thanks to our show sponsor tonight. It is Loot Crate. It is a monthly subscription box service with epic geek and gamer items and pop culture gear boxed up and shipped right to your door. Loot Crate. I heard someone once call Loot Crate Comic-Con in a box, and that's a near-perfect description. For less than $20 a month, you get 6 to 8 items in every box. Licensed gear, T-shirts, other apparel, collectibles, unique one-of-a-kind items. If you want to see some samples of previous Loot Crate boxes and the awesome stuff inside, just go to this website. Go to lootcrate.com/Seth Andrews, and you can kind of check out what you're looking at. If you like awesome geek and gamer gear, you will love Loot Crate. And you can get $3 off any new subscription when you go to lootcrate.com/Seth Andrews. lootcrate.com/Seth Andrews. I was involved in an event in San Diego, California in the fall of last year called the Godless Gala. There was a band that did a terrific live set in front of this big outdoor gathering, and they were called Monster on Sunday. And Steve and Tally Cass were there, and I think said to Tally, I'm like, look, we need to get you guys on the radio. And it took us several months, many months, to finally make it happen. But both Steve and Tally have been kind enough to join me for this radio/video podcast today, and it's great to have you both. Thanks for being here.
Well, thank you very much for having us. We're excited about it.
So you produce atheist music. Is that an accurate way of saying it, or is it a broader umbrella that your music is themed under?
It's definitely atheist music. We do like to use that word because we want to help destigmatize that term. And that is also how we both identify.
Tally, do you have a religious background? You come from some kind of a faith?
I do in a way. I was raised in a Mennonite Christian family environment. My grandfather was a pastor, and I just never really could believe it. So
I'm trying to picture you in a Mennonite environment, Tally. The two don't jive in my mind. I mean, were you sitting there in the black and the white, you know, eating at a wooden table under lantern, or was, you know, that, I know that's the Amish and the Mennonites are more progressive, but paint the picture for me.
Yes, they came from the old Amish originally, and they're German. But yeah, they don't sit around with the candlelights. They're modern. Everything's normal. They just are really big time into church and religion and God. Everything centered around that.
You must have been a pain in the ass then. You must have been a huge pain. Were you asking too many questions? Did you not want to go to church? I want to do something else. I mean, what happened?
All of the above, really. Yeah. I think they thought it was probably when I first started really speaking out about it, like, yeah, I don't get this and I don't want to go to church and I don't understand. It doesn't make sense to me. I definitely had some issues with my family. They thought I was just a rebellious teenager. But actually, I went through a lot harder of things early on in my childhood when I was indoctrinated, and it didn't take. And that's something I sing about in one of our songs called Pain that maybe we'll get to listen to today. That song talks about what happens when child indoctrination goes wrong. It really mentally, emotionally hurt me as a child. And so that's my personal story of my indoctrination from my dad when I was very young.
Well, if we can, then let's go ahead and play a cut from the album, and then we'll come back and I'm going to get more into Steve's sort of story of his background, and then we'll talk about the band and the rest of the music that you guys do. If we were to play one song to kick it off here, which tune would you recommend?
Well, let's start off with Pain.
Let's go for it.
The song is called Pain from Monster on Sunday.
Jesus,
I'm being made fun of. We're playing this seriously heavy song and I'm being mocked by my guests for introducing like a radio announcer the song on the album. So Monster on Sunday, 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 right? I can't help myself.
Sounds pure love.
Tally, you have you got some feelings about childhood indoctrination. It's a hot spot with me, right? I mean, I get good and pissed off when I think about how insidious the targeting of young minds is by religious institutions, even the ones who mean the best, the ones who are the most sincere, and doesn't negate the fact that they're doing a shit ton of damage out there, right?
Yeah, it's definitely so true. Basically, what happened to me made me scared of the dark for the next more than 10 years of my life.
Now, what do you mean, scared of the dark?
Well, I was told as a young child that I need to ask for Jesus to come into my heart. And so I did that. And I said, like, well, how will I know? Because I wasn't getting any kind of response from asking that each night when I would pray before bed. And I said, well, how will I know if Jesus is in my heart or not? And my dad looked at me very seriously and he said, you'll know. And I said, okay. And he said, I need to basically pray harder. So I prayed harder each night, praying. And I said, Dad, I don't think this is working. Like, I'm not getting any response here. I don't think. I'm pretty sure Jesus is not in my heart. And he looked right at me and very seriously said, that's not good. Tally, if Jesus doesn't come into your heart and fill that space in your soul, then you're leaving your soul open. And when you go to sleep at night and your mouth is open, demons can then fly in and take that space and possess you.
Demons can fly into your open mouth as you sleep? How old were you when he told you this?
It's some of my earliest childhood memories back then, so probably 5 years old.
It just makes my blood boil.
I would hold my blanket like this to hide my mouth and shake for like 3 hours, going, Jesus, please come into my heart, please. For years, I did that.
Are your mom and dad still alive, Tally?
Yes.
And being Mennonites who are more progressive, they have, say, YouTube. What happens when they pull up a Monster on Sunday video on the internet? What's the vibe at home?
I don't know if I have a super close relationship with my parents. My mom definitely way more than my dad, but my dad has been estranged for most of my life.
It's got to be alarming, though, to a Mennonite family to see you're this atheist activist, vehemently challenging religion via your music. I mean, what's their take? Are they praying for your soul? Are they praying for the prodigal to come home?
Yes, I've had a lot of issues with that. For example, I talked to my mom about all the great things that's happening for us with our band, and I'm so excited. This is something I feel like a calling, if you want to call it that. I just feel like I must do this. I must share my story with the world so other people know they're not alone. Like, I felt very alone. So I just feel like I must spread this message around. And I tell my mom, like, we're doing so good. These things are happening. And at the end, she'll say something like, well, you know, I think you're doing the devil's work. So that's about how that goes.
Steve, I wanted to start with Tally here, but let's get to your story, which I think is a fascinating one because you had your start in the Mormon church. Jeez, tell me this story. What happened and how did you bust out?
Well, I mean, busting out took a long time. And basically, to set it up, my family was very religious. My parents converted to the church right before I was born. So actually, it was a choice for my mom between the Jehovah's Witnesses and the Mormon church. And she decided that, I don't know, maybe the Mormon boys are cuter. But
that's kind of an arbitrary choice. Let's see.
I might be reading into it, but they did name me after one of the missionaries that baptized them. So anyway, that aside, I grew up very involved in the church. We were there every Sunday. We had our family home evening nights on Monday. We had Wednesday at the church and doing just very involved. And then later on, I went on a mission for 2 years where I learned to speak Spanish and I served in Tucson, Arizona.
I just got back from a conference in Regina, Saskatchewan, Canada. On the flight from Regina to Minneapolis, there was a sweet little lady sitting next to me, Steve. She's probably in her 60s. And, you know, you occasionally, if it happens organically, I will speak to someone sitting next to me on a plane and it pops up and she's like, well, what was your business in Regina? You know? And I'm like, well, I'm an atheist activist. I was speaking at a conference for atheists and agnostics and skeptics and critics of religion in Regina. And I saw her face change. And she informed me at that moment that she lived in Salt Lake City or lived in Utah. And she was a Mormon and she had been on a mission in Regina, Saskatchewan. What exactly happens during a mission?
Okay, well, it all depends on what age, what sex you are. So, for example, with her, I don't remember how many years a senior missionary serve, but she would have been a senior missionary and she may have done something a little bit less proselytizing than what I did. Now if you're young and you're female, you go on a mission, I think it's from 21 to 23. It's been a while. And then as a male, you go from 19 to 21, ideally. But you can go anytime up to your 30s, and they'll definitely give you a pass if you're a little late to the show and let you go on a mission. Now, basically, what it was like is you have a lot of downtime, and the downtime is meant to knock doors. So from 10 a.m. till 10 p.m. at night, if you don't have any appointments or you don't have any dinner set up, then you're knocking on doors and just going from house to house, whether there's anyone there or not. It's pretty mind-numbing, boring, and terrifying.
You're trying to earn a place in heaven, a greater rung on the ladder, another jewel in the crown. I mean, what's the end game?
There is a lot of different incentives given to young men to go on a mission. First of all, it really is about finding your perfect heavenly companion. So that's part of what they sell you. Basically, you go on a mission, and now you're a more desirable male when you come back because you've served God for 2 years, and it's this status.
So back then, you saw it as chiseling yourself into a more Christ-like image and becoming a more suitable head of house for whatever, you know, wife and family end up for you down the road. Now, when you look at all this, what's your opinion? What's your perspective on it? What do you think?
Oh, it's a terrible waste of youth. That's my first thought.
You feel that way? I wasted my youth. I wasted my childhood.
I do. I definitely do. Up to 21. I mean, to devote yourself totally to something that you find out later has no basis in truth, reality. It's heartbreaking. And to think of all the people that you talked to, all the time you spent that you could have been doing something so much more productive with your life. And not only something more productive, but not influencing others in a negative way. And that's how I really see it, that being a missionary, influencing people to join the church or to follow God as it was taken, really influences them to do a lot of negative things with their life, such as being, you know, judgmental against people who have maybe a different belief than you, people who may not be white heterosexual males. I mean, it's just the amount of things that you have to buy into to become a member of the church. And so many of them I see as negative, damaging, and really terrible, honestly. Now,
the Mormon church is sort of painted as this squeaky clean entity. And yet the more research I've done into the Mormon church, and of course, you know this, I'm sure, down to your bones, it's anything but sweet and innocent and squeaky clean. It's much of it's a business. Hell, they didn't even allow blacks in the priesthood till 1972, right? They have a hugely checkered history based on the active and life of a charlatan. You know, the Joseph Smith story is insane.
Let me say that I still have friends in the church, and there's still a lot of people that I think of as great people, but they're just very, very misled. And they believe a lot of things on authority rather than thinking through it rationally. And that's really what I think all religions want their followers to do.
Some people would look at you, Steve and Tally, and they see the band Monster on Sunday. You guys are in your face. I was looking at the lyrics of a tune that you guys released in 2015 called Baby Eater. A few lyrics. You're my friend, my family. I've known you my whole life. I know we disagree, but words cut like a knife. Calling me Baby Eater. Though you can't back your claim, goes to show just who you are. There's nothing left to say. There's no use fighting you. I'll be whatever you think I am. Satan's slave. I'm a monster. Someone you can't stand. Yeah, baby eater. Baby eater. You guys pissed off? You angry people?
I don't think we're like angry people.
I have to. I'm playing a little bit of a devil's advocate position, Tally, but I mean, a lot of us have justifiable anger, so I wanted to hit that angle. I mean, you've obviously got a fire in your belly, right?
Definitely. We have, I think both of us feel like we've been wronged by religion in general, which is what has caused our parents, friends, family to try to bring us into the religion. We feel like there's a lot of harms that religion causes to the world, too. You know, once you grow up and you realize all of the things of the bigger picture in the world and what religion is doing out there, a lot of bad things. We definitely have a fire. We consider ourselves kind of a firebrand, and we definitely want to fight back against those things and the way we were raised. And we definitely want to inspire others to speak out as well. Join the movement. Don't just be silent. And also to let other people know that they're not alone in this fight either. That was my biggest thing, is I felt so alone for so long. It's just so nice to be able to tell my story, and we have fans then that get back to us and tell us how much they identify and feel like I wrote this or that song straight about them. That's just, it's so meaningful. We get so much good response from our fans.
It's therapeutic, isn't it? I mean, I think about all the time I spent sort of buried in this superstitious thinking, and now to do battle with it in some ways, it's healing. I can't put another word to it. You guys know what I'm talking about?
Yes, exactly. That's why I was saying, I'm not sure if I could say that we're so angry. I mean, yes, we are or were or have been. If we think about these things and we sit there and we write a song, that anger comes full out, or the sadness. I'll cry when I write or sing something for the first time because that emotion from the situation comes right back. But ultimately, it is very like redeeming to have other people say things. And it's like, yes, we feel we're not alone. The more people that talk to us about their stories that are similar, and also they feel they're not alone because of us. It's very reciprocal and healing, just like you said. And we feel pretty good about our lives and what we're doing, that we're doing something important and meaningful to people.
I'm glad you drew a circle around that, because I think it's important. You know, we shouldn't live constantly angry lives, but there's a good time to get riled up, and sometimes anger can motivate to go out and instigate change. Yes.
I think it's one of the most powerful things that we have to instigate change. I think the idea that you attract more flies with honey than vinegar isn't necessarily true. Sometimes you have to get angry. Sometimes you have to do certain things like that just so that people can see that there's something wrong, or that there's even a different point of view. Because if you don't present that to them, and anger is a way to show that it's important. Some of our songs do sound angry. Some of our lyrics are a bit angry, but I think they're justified when you're looking at the kind of damage that these type of beliefs and thoughts do to people, and especially to children.
All right. So what's the vibe, and what's the title of the next song you'd like me to play here for the radio and video audience?
You want to go for Stardust?
Yeah, we have to totally switch gears to play Stardust.
Well, what is Stardust?
And Stardust is our ode to Carl Sagan that was inspired by Lawrence Krauss. It's a song that's really about celebrating science and rationality rather than some sort of angry sort of message.
Awesome. Well, with your permission, I'll sort of debut it here for many of the listeners who haven't heard it before. Monster on Sunday and a song called Stardust.
Can breathe, and you wonder why you're alive.
So any band that does sort of a homage to Sagan is already on my short list of awesome. It was late in my life when I discovered Sagan. When I was growing up and Cosmos aired, it was 1980, they had Cosmos with Sagan on PBS. And I remember my parents, my religious parents, had watched it with me. They were right over our shoulders. And anytime he'd say something about evolution, they would correct the record. You know, we were all very self-conscious. And so I grew up, we kind of mocked Carl Sagan. And I only tragically really discovered him after he had already died. And I fell in love with his voice, with his work, with the poetry of how he just made me fall in love with discovery. And I'm guessing you guys probably experienced that, which is what inspired you to write the song, right?
Well, yeah, it's two parts. One, that I saw the Cosmos much the same as you, very long after. Of course, that came out before I was born.
That hurts me, Steve. That really wounds me deep down. Yeah. What year were you? No, go ahead and tell me. What year were you born?
82.
Oh, my God.
Do not ask me that question.
No, I'm a smarter man than that, Tally. All right, continue. I'm sorry. Carl Sagan, you were already born. So you discovered after the fact, right?
Yeah, very much after the fact, and we watched the whole series of the Cosmos, and it was just amazing. But actually, where Tally's main influence of the song comes from, I'll let her tell you a little bit more about that.
Yeah, I watched Lawrence Krauss. He did a speech about a book that he wrote, A Universe from Nothing, and at the end of that, he said his big conclusion was, so Jesus didn't die for your sins. The stars died for you.
Does Krauss know that this tune exists and that he was partly the inspiration for it?
Well, we did send him a message on Facebook about
it. I'm not sure how seriously he took us, but
I think this is probably like the 30th Stardust song that he got sent.
Probably.
Since he said something about, you know, inspiring musicians and artists to write songs. And I bet he's long since regretted making that statement.
No, I don't think it's arguably his most famous quote, you know. In fact, while you're speaking, real fast, let me look that quote up because I know I'm going to misquote it here, but it's such a gem. Hang on, just Lawrence Krauss. I love the internet.
Mm-hmm.
Every atom in your body came from a star that exploded. and the atoms in your left hand probably came from a different star than your right hand. It really is the most poetic thing I know about physics. You are all stardust. You couldn't be here if stars hadn't exploded, because the elements, the carbon, nitrogen, oxygen, iron, all the things that matter for evolution and for life, weren't created at the beginning of time. They were created in the nuclear furnaces of stars, and the only way for them to get into your body is if those stars were kind enough to explode. So forget Jesus. The stars died so that you could be here today. Is that the quote, Tally?
Yep, that's pretty much it. And I do quote him a little bit, in a sense, in the breakdown, the bridge. Steve likes to call it the bridge. I call it the breakdown. right there where you have that tonal change, where the mood changes in the music. Yeah, and I say that the stars died for you.
I have no doubt somebody's going to tag him in this podcast and tell him, hey, psst, hey, Krauss, here's a song that someone will bring it to his attention, if not myself. I bump into him a couple of times a year on the road, and I know he's going to be featured along with you at this year's Reason Rally coming up on June the 4th at the Lincoln Memorial in Washington, D.C. I saw you guys on the roster and thought, score, congratulations on making it to the stage. That's going to be amazing.
Thank you. We're actually headlining the Reason Rally after party on June 4th in the evening, which is going to be an awesome show. I can't wait to do it. We're really, really excited. We're traveling all the way across the United States from San Diego all the way to the other end to make this happen with our whole band. So very exciting.
Very exciting for, I think, everybody. And, you know, they had Bad Religion at the Reason Rally in 2012, and there's not a whole lot of music with secular themes out there. I mean, not overtly. There are obviously musicians throughout the decades of pop and rock music and whatnot that have, you know, they've addressed religious, philosophical, political messages in every shape and form. But as far as, like, I hate to pigeonhole it as atheist music, but let's call it atheist music. I mean, we've got you guys.
Well, we love that pigeonhole.
We got Shelley Siegel, and she's the same, right? She's like, I'm an atheist artist. But there's not a whole lot of people doing this, or am I just looking in the wrong place, guys?
Well, actually, that's why we started this band, because I was on the hunt for atheist music. And kind of like, I could see, obviously, it's so easy for a Christian to go by Christian music. I mean, just on Sirius XM radio, you can look and see all these different genres in the Christian field under that title. And you could just, there's millions of Christian albums you can go pick up. So I was looking for something like that a band has devoted themselves to that subject, that I could just go out, pick up an album, because I just wasn't familiar. And I scoured the internet for months. I found Shelley Siegel. However, she does regular songs too. She's not just strictly songs about atheism. She had the Atheist album, which was strictly on topic, but now she's doing more mainstream type topics and things like that, which is excellent. And we love Shelley. We've played with her several times. Live shows.
I think that's important too. That's another distinction that, like, even in this show, we talk about religion and atheism, but from time to time, we want to talk about life. And I appreciate that. Some people are like, why aren't you focused completely on the atheist quote unquote message? And part of me is thinking, you know, life is part of the atheist quote unquote message, to live, to connect, to learn, to discover, you know, to explore the facets of being alive. And I think that has merit. Is every song you guys do about atheism? Or are you going to branch out? What's your plan? I know you've got one album. What's your plan moving forward?
Well, our plan is to focus specifically on atheism and subjects that relate to it throughout, as long as people will listen to us.
I'd like to see we're trying to forge a new genre of atheist hard rock in specific, but atheist music in general would be great. I would love to see more bands eventually like us, so that we have a selection that we can look at and actually have some things to choose from, not just us, you know, or Shelley. And there's very, very little right now. They're Bad Religion. Even them, they sing a lot about normal things, and they're not on the topic of atheism most of the time. So I would just like to see more bands that end up coming out like us. I'd love to see an actual genre of atheist music, or the Nuns music, or I don't know, secular music. I don't know what it would be titled, but something that actually is a real thing out there you could select music from.
Before we sort of cap things with another plug for the Reason Rally, let's finish with one more song. Set it up for me. What am I playing?
Just just like you.
Yeah, you want to say something about it?
This last song is called Just Like You, and it was inspired by the evil quote from Richard Dawkins' book, The God Delusion, where he describes God and how evil he is. It was inspired by that. I use some of his words and then tweak things, and I do all kinds of craziness. We actually have a music video, too, you can check out on YouTube if you want to. But it's a pretty in-your-face song, and we love it. We hope you like it, too.
All right. With their permission here, I'll actually play the video for the video audience watching on this YouTube channel. The song is called Just Like You. It's Monster on Sunday.
Your God is, your God is, your God is, your God is.
Jealous and proud of it, petty and unjust.
Just Like You, Monster on Sunday. For those who are listening and watching and noticing being introduced to Monster on Sunday for the first time ever, they're thinking, where do I get the album? Who are you? How do I find out more? So come on, how do our listeners and viewers find out more? Where do they go?
Okay, so you can just go online to www.monsteronsunday.com. That is the hub of all things Monster on Sunday. You can watch videos, hear music. You can also visit our store. And for listening today, you can go and type in the promo code TTA for the Thinking Atheist and get 10% off of our brand new album that was released last year, Baby Eater, and a lot of other fun band merch as well.
And now, I want everybody to know that I didn't ask for that. They were gracious to offer it. They were like, hey, we'd like to do this. It's not like, to be on the podcast, you're going to give our listeners 10% off. Damn it. They were actually saying, hey, we'd like to do this for your listeners. And I just like the idea of being able to say to someone, I got 10% off of Baby Eater. I just think that's a great sentence that should be uttered in casual conversation at some point. But it's monsteronsunday.com. And you guys are songwriting now for album number 2, is that correct?
We are. Yep.
Projected release date yet, or are you just going to feel it out?
We're just going to feel it out. Right now we're still trying to put together some shows. So we have obviously the show coming up at the Crystal City after party for the Reason Rally. We're working. We may do a Gateway to Reason show. We may do a show with DRI here in San Diego a little later this year. And in between that, we're also working on music videos. We have a brand new baby and we're songwriting. So we're kind of, you know.
So you haven't slept in a month is what you're telling me.
I haven't slept in six months.
Congratulations on the album, on your success. Thanks again for being a part of the show. ReasonRally.org and MonsterOnSunday.com. All my best to both of you, and we'll get the word out, okay?
All right.
Thank you very much.
Do we get to do our big thing we're known for?
Do the thing you're known for, whatever that is.
What is that?
It's our little Monster on Sunday ending.
Let's do it.
Whenever you're ready, hit me.
Thanks, guys. This is Monster on Sunday! Ow! Life is too short.